Thank you, Dion. Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer and just pray with me. Lord, we just pray that your word might go forth, and we pray that your kingdom might come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for that I can be here. And I just want to put the record straight. All these folks that are running, they're not running because I'm here. I'm here because they're running. I'd like to just greet you with a good biblical greeting. I must just see this. I haven't seen this. I asked Craig to put up something with that's had a tranquil background, and there we have it. And we're going to speak about peace this morning. Think about that, and also how peace might be something for Claremont. So I just want to greet you with a good biblical greeting, which comes from the beginning of Corinthians. It's not going to be put up here. And there it says to follow the words of Paul to the church of God. He said Corinth. I'm going to say in Claremont. To those made holy in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good greeting, isn't it? And it's not just to be different this morning. It's because it speaks peace. And that is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. Did you know that one of the names for God in the New Testament is God of Peace? You might have seen it. Those of you who were sharp and can remember last week when Craig had the quote up from 1 Thessalonians 5. Said, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. The God of peace. So it must be important, mustn't it? So this week we're going to look at what Jesus himself said about peace. And we're going to do it, just before we put it up, we're going to do it from John 14, where Jesus speaks of peace. But just to give you the context, look, that whole last evening, Paul calls it the night on which he was betrayed. We know it as the night of the Last Supper. That we see in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So it's too long a passage to read through this morning. But just for the context, it's the Last Supper. They gathered in the upper room, and Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He shared the supper with him. He's instituted what we now speak of as the Lord's Supper or communion. And he's speaking to them about him going away and him sending the Holy Spirit to come in his place, to live, to be, as he says, with us and in us. And then he speaks about us remaining. The old translations use the word abide, abiding in him as a branch in a vine. And then he speaks about the Holy Spirit coming to teach and to remind us, to lead us into all truth. And then he ends off in chapter 17 with what we usually call the the priestly or the high priestly prayer in which he prays then for his disciples. And he adds, and for all those who are going to believe through them. That means us. So it's all for us. And so John 14. But the advocate, this is in from verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus speaking here of peace and giving us peace. Now to understand this more, the best way to start is to ask the question, what were the disciples hearing when Jesus said this? You see, the word peace, the English word peace, has a slightly different, it's achieved a slightly more restrictive meaning for us than what the disciples would be hearing. We primarily think of peace as the opposite of war or the opposite of strife, don't we? And I thought about it. I reckon it's because we've come through more than a century of great wars. You know, for the older people, yeah, we grew up in the 20th century, which started with World War I, World War II, the Great Cold War between the East and West, and then a lot of a smattering of other wars. There was the Korean War, there was the Vietnam War, there was the two Gulf Wars, there was the Afghan War, and now it's spilt over into this century with a war in the Middle East and the Ukraine. We've come to think of the word peace denoting absence of war. But that wasn't so for the Jewish mind, the Jewish way of thinking. So when Jesus says, I give you my peace, they were hearing receiving a different concept entirely. Now, I don't think anybody is sure about what language they were speaking. I think the consensus is that Jesus was speaking Aramaic because that was the street language of that time. It was all written down in Greek because that was more the literary language. But we can safely assume that all the disciples had a very good knowledge of Hebrew, because the scriptures there, their scriptures, the Old Testament as we know it, was in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for peace, you all know that, is shalom. And for the Hebrew thinking mind, shalom did not mean, when they said shalom, they did not mean absence of war or absence of strife. They meant well-being. Even more, they meant total well-being. So when Jesus says, I give you my peace, I give you my well-being, it's a massive gift he's giving. He's giving total well-being from him who created the earth and the heavens. It's a massive gift that he's giving, and he starts to explain himself, and he says, not as the world gives. That's the first thing he says. He says, not as the world gives. So if we want to start thinking about this, We have to realize that the world is in a state of, let's call it, unpeace, because that denotes, let's say, unease, or maybe even disease. It means disquiet. It means agitation, adversity, trouble, all these kind of things the world is experiencing. So that we don't think in terms of merely absence of war, but all this unpeace. And where did it come from? It came from the fall. Way back when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, unpeace entered the world. So much so that God even cursed the world, which means that all the natural disasters that we see around us nowadays and all through history are the result of the fall. It's not God being in some way capricious. This is part of the curse. Obviously, it's not as if the world isn't seeking peace. The world is running after peace, but on their own conditions. Who of you remember Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. They want to seek peace in the world's way. They don't want to come to, as Isaiah calls him, the Prince of Peace. And just think of all the ways that the world runs after some kind of peace. Social media, entertainment, Eastern or New Age spirituality, drugs, all these kind of things. The world seeks peace all the time, but all in their way, and it's all counterfeit things that they're looking for. Counterfeit providers of peace. So they're just never going to get peace. You know, it's like do you know what a floater is? These little dots, when you look up in the blue sky and you see there's a little dot in your eye, and you want to have a look at it, and it's sitting just here, and so you look at it, and as you look at it, it does this. And that's what the world's peace is like. They're forever searching, and it's forever eluding them. And because they do not want to come to the Prince of Peace. Another place where we cannot look for peace is in the church, when the church preaches prosperity. Because prosperity is not the same as well-being. You know, prosperity, as it's preached in some churches, has to do mainly with material goods. And so I've heard people say, but the Lord wants to bless me, and I need a new car, and so I should pray for this, and I should pray very specifically. So I'm praying for a new red Mercedes with white upholstery. Have you heard that? You know? It's pathetic. And you know why it's pathetic? It's because these guys are not asking for too much. They're asking for too little. How can you compare material things with the total well-being that God wants to give, that He has given in Jesus? He's given, He says, I give you my peace. So it's very clear to us that peace cannot be achieved peace and well-being cannot be experienced, it cannot be lived, it cannot be had without the Prince of Peace. He said, I am the way and the truth of the life. And in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is what the Prince of Peace has come for. Anyone that thinks they can have peace or well-being outside the Prince of Peace is just missing the point entirely. This it reminds one of these ads you hear for something like Coke Zero or Coke Light. All the flavor, none of the calories, you know? There is no such thing as gospel light. You can't have peace or well-being without the Prince of Peace. There is no such thing as gospel light. And so there's nothing, there's no peace, there's no well-being outside of Jesus and what Jesus was going to do that very night. He was headed for the cross. And he was headed to the cross to restore the relationship between God and man. That's the gospel message. And if we have bamboozled ourselves into thinking that more riches or better health or some kind of new relationship or even some kind of new service or ministry will provide us with peace or well-being, we're making a mistake. The only way to peace is Jesus, who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now notice that Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do you hear that he's using the present tense? He's not saying the same as what he said, that you must wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, because the Father will give you what would be Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's in the future tense. He's saying, I give you my peace. It's done. It's done. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And it's part of the gospel gift. It's part of the new life gift that Jesus gives us. And a gift can only be received or taken hold of. And so it's there. But, of course, paradoxically, Scripture also says that it's not only a gift, it is also part of fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, we won't put it up. You all know it. Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. So peace, well-being, is also a fruit of the Spirit. That means that it's not only a gift, but it's something which, when you have it, has to be nurtured, developed. Best word probably is brought to fruition as a fruit. The fruit has to get ripe. And it's a process. The process is, first of all, taking hold of this gift and then working it out in our daily life. The Holy Spirit works it into our life, but we have to work it out in our daily life. Did you notice that the verse before he says, "Peace I leave with you," says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. It's not just by chance that Jesus said these things together. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. We cannot live out the peace that Jesus gives it. Because living it out means obviously living it out, but it also means demonstrating it. In other words, not living it out in secret, but living it out in such a way that the world will see that we live in peace and well-being. Saying that, and with that we'll end off, is that we are not demonstrating that life in the kingdom of God is all moonlight and roses. That's not what Jesus is saying. Because a few sentences later, he said in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And then he adds, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Peace is not absence of trouble. Well-being is not absence of trouble, but it's having peace in Jesus. I want to just read you a quote from a guy called David McMillan. He's part of a worldwide ministry of prayer, Wingspan Ministry, I think they call. He's preached here in Betty's Bay, and he's preached here, I think a year or two, three ago in the Fellowship Church. And he says, "We face many of the same difficulties that those people face that are not yet in Christ. But when we go through a passage of trouble, we have Jesus the overcomer present to help us. We have him to mold us through it, to deliver us from evil intentions that might be behind it, and to ensure that the outcome will serve his plans for our good and his glory." That's why, to go back to John 14, he ends off by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In the end, the kingdom life of peace or well-being in Jesus is a life without anxiety and fear. Now I know that this is not our experience all the time. For some of us, it's our experience most of the time. For some of us, we just live in anxiety and fear. And in others, it's just something which happens now and again. But we all need to retake hold of the peace of Jesus. The peace that Jesus gives and that the Holy Spirit wants to work into our lives. And so to end off, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And then we're going to just pray that the Lord Holy Spirit will work his peace into our lives. So I'm just going to ask the Lord Holy Spirit to come and minister to us in that way. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are the God of peace. And we thank you that you are are here to teach us and remind us of what the Lord Jesus said. And so this peace that we have been given, we pray, Lord, that you would now minister this to us. We pray that even now, at this stage, you will touch us with your power, with your presence, with your anointing, and work this peace into our hearts. We pray for an enhancement of this process that you're busy with in our lives of working out the peace of Jesus in our hearts. And Lord, we confess that we many times are taken up with the storms that surround us. And we pray that you would lead us into the eye of the storm in your peace, where we can be in total peace because you are in control. And so, Lord, even at this moment, Lord Holy Spirit, we pray, come and minister to us. Come and touch us. Come and work your peace in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, and as you are working this into us, Lord, we pray that you would increase your power in our lives, that we might be empowered to serve you as you want us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I know that there are people here this morning that are in great unpeace about financial difficulties, financial matters. And especially for them, Lord, I pray, would you minister to them? Minister to us, Lord. Thank you. Obviously, we know that there are people that have great health issues. Or maybe not even if it's yourself, but maybe you want to stand proxy for a family or a member or a loved one. Lord, we pray that you would touch anyone who is seeking you for a new revelation of your love and healing too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we pray for those people who are seeking your guidance in relationships, whether it be in family or marriage or wider groups at work, amongst colleagues, wherever. Come, Lord Holy Spirit, and work your peace and well-being into our relationships. Thank you, Lord. Going to end off now with another prayer from Philippians 4 verse 7, but just want to mention to you that if you need further prayer or want further prayer, you're welcome to come forward, and you're welcome to remain just where you are too if you feel that the Lord is speaking to you, and you're welcome to go for coffee too. Let's just receive. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.